بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 11th session, reading from commentaries related to العقيدة التحاوية بالإمام أبو جعفر أحمد بن محمد بن سلامة التحاوي رحمه الله. In tonight's session, بإذن الله تعالى, we're going to start a new topic. He goes into the topic related to the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But before that, we want to complete a review of some of the topics that we discussed last week in the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 10. So the first question from last week's session mentioned the 24th statement of the author, Al-Imam At-Tahawi, concerning Allah's guiding whoever He wills. 24th statement, which in the commentary of Sheikh Salih Fawzan Arabic is numbered as 36, and in the English translation, number 35. What is the 24th statement of the author concerning Allah's guiding whomever He wills? Naam. Allah guiding whomever He wills. What did he say? MashaAllah. Abu Bakr. Okay. That's true. There's no doubt about it. But is that the words of the author? He didn't begin with Inna Allah, but of course he's talking about Allah, right? Allah Yahdi, you know, Ahmed. Yeah, Ahmed.
Yahdi man yasha wa ya'asimu wa yu'afi man yasha fadlan.
In your book, it has man yasha twice?
Yeah.
Please. In our manuscript, it doesn't have man yasha twice. Go ahead, fadlu.
ويضل من يشاء ويخذل ويبتلي من يشاء عدلا.
طيب. So the meaning is the same, but there's some extra wording here, and some of the manuscripts the wording is a little bit different. So the meaning here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whomever He wills. وَيَعْصِمُ وَيُعَافِي فَضْلًا. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whomever He wills. And He protects and guards, yani, whomever He wills from deviation and from sin. And this is, yani, from His favor and His bounty that He gives to whomever He wills. He also said, وَيُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, and He leads astray whomever He wills. وَيَخْذُلُ وَيَبْتَلِي عَدْلًا, and He abandons, yani, He doesn't guide or protect, yani, whomever He wills, and He tests, yani, with trials, especially with sin and disobedience, whomever He wills, adlan. Adlan meaning out of justice. So Allah guides whomever He wills, and He leads astray whomever He wills, and His guiding whomever He wills is His fadl, His favor, His bounty that He gives to whoever He wills, and whoever He leads astray, misguides, and abandons, and leaves them on their own, then this is, yani, Allah's justice, yani, because that's what they deserve. So this is very important for us to understand, and we discussed it last week in detail, but the point is that Allah guides whomever He wills, and He leads astray whoever He wills. But it's not just, yani, haphazard or reckless, it's actually, whoever He guides, that's His favor. And that's because He sees good in that person. And whoever He misleads or leads astray, that's justice because of their behavior, because of their actions. So that's what they justly deserve. Question number two. How does Shaykh Al-Fawzan relate Allah's guiding and misguiding whoever He wills to His qadr, His divine decree? How does he relate Allah's guiding or misguiding whomever He wills? How does he connect that to the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now,
whatever is decreed for somebody, it'll be easy for them to do those actions.
Okay. That's true. Whatever is decreed for somebody, Allah is going to make it easy for them to do them actions. But this, the simple statement that the Shaykh, he makes here, he tells us that this Allah's guiding whomever He wills, and His...
due to the obedience.
No, that's the reason for it. But how is it connected to qadr? Yani naam.
Because You know when they kill all the...
That's the reason. That's the reason. The Shaykh explains the reason later. But what we want to know, is there a connection between Allah, Allah's Mashiach, that is by His will, that He guides or misguides? How is that connected to Qadr? And it's very simple. And the Shaykh just made a very simple statement. It's not more than a few words, 3 or 4 words. Now. Now.
Allah guides those who are, He knows who are fit for guidance.
Tayyib. I'm going to read what the Shaykh said. Now, I'm Abdul Wali. Allah guides, the Shaykh said, Shaykh Salih Fawzan said, Allah guides whomever He wills, and He leads astray whomever He wills, and this is His qadha and His qadr. Yani, this is what Allah has decreed. Yani, His will is part of His qadr. Yani, the qadr includes Allah's knowledge, and Allah's writing, and Allah's mashiach. That whatever happens is by Allah's will. So this is the qadr of Allah. And Allah has decreed this. Now as far as the basis for it or the reasoning behind it, and why did Allah decree this? That's another matter altogether. Okay? But the fact that Allah guides some people, that's what He has decreed. And the fact that He misleads people, that's what He has decreed. But why did He guide these and mislead? That's another matter which we didn't get to yet. Now, I don't think so. Unless this is... No. Yeah, normally, if there's some left over, I usually bring them, but okay. Maybe there was none left over, or I didn't.
No problem, sorry.
No problem. Here's one here. Tayyib, the third question, and this is the, yani, the explanation. What does Shaykh Al-Fawzan say is the basis or the reason for why Allah guides some people and misguides others? What is the reason why He guides some people and misguides others? Now, let me look in the back. Talib. Is that what the Shaykh said, or that's what you understand? Oh, okay. I want to know what the Shaykh says. The question says, why does Shaykh Salih Fawzan say? What does he say is the basis or the reason for why Allah guides some people and misguides others? Any, our own understanding and explanation is fine. But the question is specific. What I'm looking for here is, why does Shaykh Salih Fawzan say? Not why Shaykh bin Baz, or Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, or Shaykh al-Albani. Why did Shaykh Salih Fawzan say, what did he say is the reason why Allah guides some people and misguides others? Ali.
He says that Allah guides those who are fit for guidance, those who are keen on seeking and accepting. He makes the path easy for them.
Naam. That's the end of the answer right there. Alhamdulillah. Okay, who can repeat what he just said? Yani, from your own words. What he just said, if you were listening carefully. Naam. Mustafa. Allah guides those whom He deems fit. Yani, who are suitable to receive the guidance. Huh? And what else did he say? Somebody else remember what else he said? Now, those who are seeking. Yani, those who are keen, who are earnestly seeking the guidance. Seeking the guidance. They are actually making an effort to be guided. So Allah guides them. Other people, they are not seeking guidance. They are turning away from the guidance. That's different. Okay? So the Shaykh is saying that Allah is decreeing that a person be guided. It's not just haphazard. It's He decreed it. That's why He guides some people and misguides. It's what He decreed. But why did He decree it? What is the basis of it? That He saw that some people are fit for the guidance. They are seeking out the guidance. They're going after it. They're going towards it. They're accepting it and trying to apply it to their lives. So He guides them. So He makes it easy for them. That's what he stopped on. That's what I stopped him on, I should say. And then Allah makes it easy for them. makes it easy for them to follow the guidance because he sees them making an effort to seek. You want to add something? I don't want to add anything to that answer, but if you just want to say something. Okay, why are the people led astray? Why did Allah lead some people astray? Because their aversion of seeking guidance and goodness. Yani, they don't want it. They are not desirous of it. They are turning away from it. Because they turn away from the guidance when it's offered to them. The point here is what? That it's the actions of the human being that is going along with the decree of Allah. And Allah decreed it. Allah wills it. But why? Because of the actions of the human being. The human being is doing the things that show he wants to be guided. So then Allah decreed for them guidance and made it easy for them. And the other person's actions is they're turning away from the guidance. They're turning their back to it. They're rejecting it. They have aversion to it. So Allah, yani, leads them astray. Memorize the ayat. Chapter 92:5-10. Or it should be ayat now. Which make clear the above reason or basis for Allah's decision to guide or misguide some people. Who memorized the ayat? Naam, Yusuf. Stop there. The other ayats are the opposite meaning, right? The meaning of these ayats, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, as for, these are two groups of people. As for the one who gives and observes taqwa and testifies to the truth of al-husna, then Allah makes easy for them the way to ease, to good, to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who what? Who gives. Not just gives charity or money, but the one who does everything that Allah has commanded them with. The one who does the things that Allah has commanded them with. And they also, yani what? Observe taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They realize that they are in need of Allah. So they try to be obedient to Him. And they testify to the truthfulness of al-husna, which means, any of the scholars give different opinions, but they are not contradictory. Testifying to the truthfulness, first and foremost, of la ilaha illallah. And whatever else that entails, and whatever else is required by it. Then Allah makes easy for them the way to righteousness, to khair, to obedience to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the opposite meaning, yani the other people who He misleads, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the meaning of which is, yani the one who what? Huh? Bakhila wastaghna. Yani the one who is stingy, who holds back from fulfilling the commands of Allah. Wastaghna. And he feels that he doesn't need Allah. Yani he's not in need. And he, yani, denies the truthfulness, the reality of la ilaha illallah. And Allah makes easy for that person the way to al-usra, yani to difficulty, which here, what is intended by it? Meaning, makes easy for them disobedience to Allah and going astray. Allah makes it easy for them. So these ayat are important, very, very important for us understanding that it's not just indiscriminate selection of some people for guidance and other people for misguidance. No, it's because of the actions of the human being, those are the asbab. The reasons or the causes of Allah guiding some people and making it easy for them to follow the guidance. Question number 5. Mention the 25th. Or in the Arabic explanation of Sheikh Salih Fazan, 37th statement of the author Imam At-Tahawi concerning Allah's fadl and his adl. The statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. I want Imam At-Tahawi's statement. Okay, who knows what Al-Imam At-Tahawi says. This is the 25th. Statement of Imam At-Tahawi. Now, who's over in the corner? Help me. Help me with your name. Fawaz, yeah. Fawaz, mashallah. He calls it, he says it, Fawaz, like with Shadda, right? It's okay, it's fine. That helped me to remember you now, inshallah. Fawaz. Now. Yataqallabuna. Mashi'atihi. Now, so all of the human beings are alternating, going back and forth, subject to the Mashi'ah of Allah, the will of Allah, between His fadl Yani his favor to those who are obedient. And his adl, his justice for those who are disobedient. Yani all the people are in between these two conditions of either receiving the fadl of Allah or receiving the adl of Allah. And all of that is by Allah's will. It's what Allah willed. He willed for some people yani to be obedient and that He will give them His favor and His help and His assistance and His guidance and make it easy for them to be obedient to Him. And He willed other people. Why? Because of their actions. So He willed for those people yani to go astray and to be disobedient and to end up in the hellfire. How does this statement relate to Allah's name, Al-Hakim, and His sifa, His quality or characteristic of Al-Hikmah? How does this statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi here, how does it relate to Allah's name, Al-Hakim? Naam, Talib. I saw your hand, but I'm trying to mix it up a little bit.
His name, Al-Hakim, he's the one who puts everything in its proper place.
Because Al-Hakim is the one who puts everything in its proper place. So the meaning here of putting everything in its proper place is what? Okay, hikmah, yes. But I mean, how does it actually play out that he puts everything in its proper place here in this context, meaning Sanusi? That's how putting everything in its right place. The people who deserve guidance because they're trying to be obedient to him, they're seeking the right guidance, so he guides them. That's putting the guidance in the right place, in the people that are deserving of it, that are fit for it, that are desirous of it, that are receptive to it. And the people who are contrary to that, then they get justice. And that's putting everything in its right place. Tayyib, question number 7, mentioned the 26. On Sheikh Salih Fawzan's commentary, he numbered it as 38. In English, it's 37. The 26th statement of the author, Al-Imam al-Tahawi, negating any opponents or equals for Allah. And in just 5 or 6 words, what did Al-Imam al-Tahawi say? Dawood. Dawood, did you get that package that was left for you while you were praying? Okay. MashaAllah. I delivered. Okay. No one can prevent his decree, override it. Before we get to that, what did the 26th statement, I don't know which book you're reading from, if you're reading from the commentary of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, it's numbered as 38, in English 37. So it's before the statement that you, it's before that statement. Naam, Abdul Wali.
He is muta'alin of all his opponents and rivals.
Okay, he is muta'alin. Meaning, what does that mean? Muta'alin. That's what we want to know. What does that mean? Naam.
Transcendent.
Let's stop here. I'm glad you said that because I was getting ready to say whatever that means. What does that mean? Yani, that's what it means, really. But who knows what that means? Like, how many people know what is the meaning of transcendent? What does that mean here? Yani, in practical language that people can understand in English. That word is correct. I mean, it can be used there. That's correct. But I'm saying whatever that means like, how many people know what that means? Sure, lots of people know, but some of us don't know. Like me, if I wasn't reading this in Arabic, I don't know what transcendent means. I don't know what it means in English. But I know what muta'ala means in Arabic. What does it mean, Ya Ahmed?
Highly exalted.
Okay, highly exalted. Naam. Yani, it's similar. Al-Muta'ali is similar to the name of Allah. Al-Ali or Al-A'la. Means He's very highly exalted. Yani, above there being anyone to oppose Him. He's beyond that. Above there being anyone equal to Him. He's beyond that. He's high, highly exalted, far removed from there being anyone equal to Him or anyone that can be an opponent to Him. So that's what transcendent means. Labas, labas, mashallah. Question number 8, mention the 3 angles from which the Sheikh Salih Fawzan explained the highness, yani this highness of Allah in His name, Al-Muta'ali. Should be Al-Muta'ali, yani without Alif Lam, it's Muta'alin. Why is that, Ya Abu Bakr?
Without,
if it doesn't have Alif Lam, why is it Muta'alin? It's Marfoon. And the sign of being Marfoon is what?
It's
Dhamma Muqaddara. Ala Ya Al-Mahdufa. Allah Mustan. Ya Abu Bakr, you're getting rusty. You used to be the first one to answer the question.
You're not around.
Allahu Musta'an. Tayyib, Labas, Labas. Okay, what are the three angles from which Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan explained the highness of Allah in his name, Al-Muta'ali? What are the three angles? Naam, Shanawaz.
His divine being.
His that. And Allah himself rose above the throne. He's high. His himself. His divine being is high. Second angle. Second angle. Naam.
His sifat and the magnificence of his
sifat. Yani his qadr. Yani not qadr, not qadha. Yani not dham fatta fatta. Sukoon, fatta sukoon. Qadr here means, yani his sifat are high and lofty and magnificent. And the third angle? Naam. Yasir. Okay, omnipotence is actually one of the words that was used to describe qadrihi. But qahr actually is close to that. But qahr means that he has, yani, omnipotence, maybe you could say, but specifically it means the one who can conquer or vanquish. Everything, yani, is surrendered to his omnipotence, maybe. But the point is that he's the one who has the ability to conquer and to subdue and to, yani, vanquish everything in the creation. So from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high in all these three ways. He himself is high above, his that is high above everything in the creation, and his qualities and characteristics are high, and his power to vanquish, to conquer, to subdue everything in the creation is high. Now, question number 9. Mention the 27th or 39th statement of the author, Al-Imam al-Tahawi, concerning Allah's qadha and his hukm and his amr. Three things that he mentions here. This is the 37th statement and 39th in Sheikh Salih Fawzan's Arabic explanation, 38 in the English translation. What did Al-Imam al-Tahawi say? Naam, Jaysh. There's no one to prevent his decree. Nor anyone to override his judgment. Nor anyone who can overpower his command. Yani his awamir al-khawniya. We want to say that, all right? Because Allah commanded the people to pray, and some people don't pray. And Allah commanded the people to fast, and some people don't fast. But we mean his awamir al-qawniya, meaning the things that Allah decreed, the commands that he gave that are part of his, yani, irada qawniya, his universal will. Those things, nobody can, yani, resist them. Nobody can resist them. So this here is showing us, yani, this is near the end of the discussion concerning the decree of Allah. Nobody can repel, nobody can push back, nobody can resist what he has decreed to be, and nobody can, yani, reverse or undo what he has judged or ruled, and nobody can overcome his universal commands, and nobody can resist them. And what Allah has decreed is going to be, and nobody and nothing in the universe can resist it. The last statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi that we discussed last week, the 28th statement, or 40th in the Arabic explanations of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, the 28th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, with which he closes this section. What is the last thing that he mentioned at the end of this discussion concerning the divine decree? Naam.
He said, we believe in all of these things and we are certain that all of them come.
Naam, we believe in all of these things and we are certain. Yani we have a high level of complete and perfect knowledge, certainty, that it is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does anybody remember what Sheikh Salih Fawzan said about that last statement? That wasn't the question, but anyway. And he said, yani, the statement, آمَنَّا بِذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ. And we have believed in that, in all of it. Meaning what? In all of what? In all of what was said before, up until now. We believe in all of that. And we are certain that it is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very long review of the points that we discussed last week. Wallahu musta'an. Now, Wallahu musta'an. So tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're looking at a new topic, and it is the topic of the prophethood and nubuwa, the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I want to just quickly look at the points that Al-Imam al-Tahawi mentions concerning al-Nubuwa, and we're not going to finish them tonight, but in any case, from what he said concerning al-Nubuwa, there are four statements here. The first of them, he says, وَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَبْدُهُ الْمُصْطَفَى وَنَبِيُّهُ الْمُجْتَبَى وَرَسُولُهُ الْمُرْتَضَى. Yani that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentions him by name sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said that he is abduhu al-Mustafa, yani his abd, who he has chosen. Wa nabiyuhu al-Mujtaba, yani he is his abd and he is also his prophet that is chosen, that Allah has chosen. Wa rasuluhu al-Murtada, and he is his messenger, yani that he has chosen, literally that he is pleased with. That he is pleased with, and therefore has chosen him as his messenger. And the remaining statements after that, like we're going to look at them in the next session, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, but the core of it is he mentions that he's the seal of the prophets, the leader of the righteous, the master of the messengers, and the Habib, the beloved of the Lord of all the worlds, and every claim to prophecy after him is falsehood, it's deviation, and it is just following desires. And then finally he closes the prophethood discussion before we go on to the Quran is the Kalam of Allah. That's going to be the next topic. He says he has been sent to all of the jinn and the entirety of humanity with truth, guidance, light and illumination. These are the points that Al-Imam al-Tahawi mentioned concerning the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the details concerning them bi-idhnillahi ta'ala we're going to start to look at today, and inshallah, hopefully next week we'll complete them. So now I have to observe the time. Allahu musta'an. The first point. And this point is the leading statement concerning the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ الْمُصْطَفَى. Yani, like we said in the beginning, the Shaykh is going to explain what we believe in reference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's saying he's attaching to that, and we also believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the abd of Allah al-Mustafa, that he has chosen. And the abd is normally translated as his slave, sometimes servant. And in my view, my own personal view, Worshipper. The better description here, not in every time the word abd came, but here, the actual intended meaning, and Allah knows best, is he is his worshipper. Yani, not just a slave or a servant, he is the one who worships Allah. Of all the human beings, the greatest of those who worship Allah. Al-Mustafa. Wa nabiyuhu al-Mujtaba. And he is also his prophet. And al-Mujtaba, as the Shaykh explains, we're going to read it, yani has the same meaning of Mustafa. Yani that he is the prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen. And thirdly, he says, وَرَسُولُهُ الْمُرْتَضَى. And he is also his messenger that literally he is pleased with, and it may also be translated as chosen. So, yani here, Al-Imam al-Tahawi is given three descriptions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says he is the abd of Allah, and the nabi of Allah, and the rasul of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected or chosen from amongst humanity. The Shaykh says, Shaykh Salih Fawzan, لَمَّا بَيَّنَ الشَّيْخ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ, meaning the author al-Tahawi, فِي أَوَّلْ كَلَامِهِ مَا يَجِبُ مِنْ مَعْرِفَةِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانُهُ وَأَتِقَادِ أَنَّهُ الرَّبُّ الْمُسْتَحِقُ لِلْعِبَادَةِ دُونَ مَا سِوَاهُ وَأَنَّهُ مُتَّصِفُ بِصِفَاتِ الْكَمَالِ وَنُعُوتِ الْجَلَالِ التي هو متصف بها أزلا وأبدا لما بين هذا ووضحه انتقل إلى ما يجب اعتقاده في الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام وقوله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. So Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, now that the Sheikh, meaning the author, Al-Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah, has made clear in the beginning of his speech, and in the beginning of this book of Aqidah, he made clear what is obligatory for us to know about Allah, what we must know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what we must believe in terms of him being the Rabb, Rabb al-Alameen, who is the one deserving of worship to the exclusion of anyone besides him. He is the only one deserving of worship. And since he has made clear to us this, and what we need to know about Allah, and what we are supposed to believe concerning him being the only one deserving of worship. وَأَنُّهُ مُتَّصِفْ بِصِفَاتِ الْكَمَاءِ وَنُعُوتِ الْجَلَالِ, and that he is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described with yani sifat, characteristics or qualities of perfection, and nu'ut, yani descriptions as well, yani of yani majesty and glory. That Allah is described with these qualities or these characteristics or descriptions, which he was described with always and always will be described with, azalan and abadan. When he made this clear, the Shaykh says, now he went on to discuss what is obligatory for us to believe in concerning the Rasul, alayhi salatu wasalam. Now he went on to discuss what is obligatory for us to know. And here, yani, him using the word, yajibu, i'tiqad, yani, what is obligatory upon us to believe concerning the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, means that, yani, if it's obligatory upon us to believe this, then it's obligatory upon us to know first. And we have to learn, we have to know. We have to know what we're supposed to believe in. You have to learn first. How are you going to believe in something if you don't know it first? If we don't learn, then we're not going to believe what we're supposed to believe, because we don't know. So he says, he's saying, indeed, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's abd that he has chosen. يعني عبده المصطفى. هذا عطف على أول الكلام. So this is connected. يعني العطف means like a conjunction. Like the wow, this and that. So he's connecting this to the beginning of his speech where he said, نقول في توحيد الله معتقدين بتوفيق الله بتوفيق الله إن الله واحد لا شريك له. Yani we say concerning the Tawheed of Allah, that's the beginning of the speech of Imam At-Tahawi, we say concerning the speech of Allah, believing. Yani believing what we believe by Tawfiq of Allah. Allah is the one who gave us success to have this correct Aqidah. So what do we say? We say indeed Allah is one and He has no partner. To the end of what he said after that, what was the second statement? Inna Allah wa'id, la sharika la, wa la shay'a mithluhu. Uh-huh. وَلَا شَيْءَ يُعْجِزُهُ وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ. That's how he began. Okay? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, he doesn't have any partner, and there's nothing like him, there's nothing, yani, يُعْجِزُهُ, that, yani, is beyond his ability, that's impossible for him, and there's nothing that deserves to be worshipped besides him. Until the end of what we got finished discussing when we came to the Qadr. So the Shaykh says this speech about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is connected to that speech about Allah, the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To the end of what he said concerning that. And then he said, yani here, he said, indeed, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the end of what he said concerning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is the Abd of Allah, and that he is the Nabi of Allah, and he is the Rasul of Allah. And he went on to say some other descriptions in the statements that came after that. Yani he is the Khatim, Al-Anbiya, the seal of the prophets, and he is the Imam of Al-Atqiya, and he is the leader of the people of Taqwa, and he is the Sayyid Al-Mursaleen, and Habib, Rabb Al-Alameen. These are descriptions that Imam Tahawi mentions concerning the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we'll come to next week, but here, we're going to stop at this particular point. I mean, we're going to like look at this point. The Shaykh goes into some detail here. Indeed, Muhammad, he is the Abd, the chosen worshipper of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So he says, ثُمَّ قَالَ إِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا إِلَىٰ آخِرِهِ فَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ اِعْتِقَادِ هَذَا. So this is something that we must believe of necessity. We must believe this, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the Abd of Allah and the Nabi of Allah and the Rasul of Allah that Allah is pleased with and Allah has chosen. كَمَا نَشْهَدُ لِلَّهِ بِالْأُلُوهِيَّةِ كَذَلِكَ نَشَهَدْ لِلرَّسُولِ بِالرِّسَالَةِ. And in the same way that we bear witness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-uluhiyya, that He is the one that's divine, that's worthy of worship alone. In the same way, we also bear witness for the messenger that he is the one who has been given the risala, the message. In the same way. So what does that mean, in the same way? Just in brief, what do we understand from that? Now,
you can't have one without the other.
Same way we bear witness to this, the uluhiyya of Allah, we bear witness to the risala of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is what the Shaykh says next. You must have read this in advance. You didn't? You're supposed to. You're supposed to. How many times did I say, before you come to class, you got to read the lesson that we're going to have in this class. Before you come to class. But mashallah, he got it anyway. So we're not going to condemn you. We're going to give you a pass tonight because you got the answer right. The Shaykh says, in the same way that we bear witness to the uluhiyya of Allah, we also must bear witness to the risala of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَلِذَلِكَ فَالشَّهَادَتَانِ دَائِمًا مُتَلَازِمَتَانِ. For this reason, yani that we are required to bear witness to the uluhiyya of Allah, and to Allah's divinity and right to be worshipped, and we are required to bear witness to the risala of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For this reason, the shahadatan. The shahadatan. What is the shahadatan? Somebody else. Huh? Naam? Naam. Shahadu an la ilaha illallah wa shahadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. The shahadatan are the two testimonies. We bear witness to Allah. He's the only one that deserves to be worshipped. And we bear witness to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is messenger. This is the shahadatan. Okay, what is the i'rab of shahadatan? Is it mansub or marfu'un or majrur? Mansub, shahadatan. So what if it was shahadatain? What would it be? Abu Bakr is rusty. Abu Bakr is rusty. Yani shahadatain is majrur mansub. Shahadatan is marfu'un wa lamatu raf'ihi alif li'annahu muthanna. Muthanna. Allahu Akbar. Tayyib, la bas. And we have our Arabic students here now. I want to like test them. Allahu musta'an. Walidhalika ash-shahadatan da'iman mutalazimatan. So for this reason, the two testimonies, yani bearing witness to the right of Allah alone to be worshipped and the right of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the messengership, yani these are always mutalazimatan. They're always what? Huh?
Needed.
They're needed. Mutalazimatan means that, huh? Not just that they complement you, they're inseparable. They're inseparable. You can't separate them. That's what he said earlier. You can't separate them. They gotta be together. And nobody can say, I bear witness that Allah alone deserves to be worshipped. And we accept it. Unless he bears witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final messenger. And a person says, I believe he's the last messenger. No other messenger after him. But he doesn't bear witness that Allah alone deserves to be worshipped. How many people bear witness to the messengership of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they worship other than Allah? Huh? Is there any such thing as that? It's widespread. How many people identify with Islam and worshiping other than Allah? Worshiping graves, worshiping this, worshiping that. No. Then the Shaykh goes on to say, وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا, yani in the statement of Imam al-Tahawi, وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَالْمُصْطَفَى, he said, this is his name, alayhi salatu wasalam, al-mashhur bihi, that he's well known and famously known by. Yani the name, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَقَدْ جَاءَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ, and this, the mention of his name, came in the Qur'an. For example, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Yani that Muhammad, by his name, Allah mentions, that he is not the father of any of your men, but rather, he is the messenger of Allah. In Surah Al-Ahzab, which is Surah 34 or 3? 33, Ayah 40. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَآمَنُوا بِمَا نُزِّلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَهُوَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ كَفَّرَ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَأَصْلَحَ بَالَهُمْ. And here again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his name. Yani, and they believed in what has been revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is the truth from their Rabb. In Surah to Muhammad, the surah named Muhammad, which is 47, second ayah. وَفِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Sheikh just mentioned at the beginning of the ayah, Muhammadun Rasulullah وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. That Muhammad, by his name, is the messenger of Allah. And those who are with him are أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ. They are very stern with the disbelievers. رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. And they are patient, compassionate and kind amongst themselves. That is the characteristic of the people who are with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's how Allah describes them. That they are shadeed ala al-kuffar ruhamaa bainahum. But they are compassionate with one another. They're not harsh with the Muslims. We are not harsh with Muslims. It doesn't mean we don't execute the law of Allah if we are in that position to do so. But we are not harsh with the Muslims. That's putting your harshness in the wrong place. And that's Surah Tufat, which is, I think, 48th surah? 48, 29. وَجَاءَ أَحْمَدُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى عَنْ عِيسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ مِنَ التَّوْرَاةِ وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِهِ إِسْمُهُ أَحْمَدُ. And all children of Israel, indeed, يعني إيسى عليه السلام, Allah is conveying the words of Isa alayhi salam, that all children of Israel, indeed I am the messenger of Allah to you, testifying to the truthfulness of what came before me in the Torah and in the Torah, and giving good news of a messenger who will come after me, and his name is Ahmed. In this Surah As-Saff, 61st Surah, 6th Ayah, وَلَهُ أَسْمَى جَاءَتْ فِي السُنَّةِ. And he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also has other names that came in the Sunnah, and Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentions them in his book, Jalal Afham. And in other words, the name that the Prophet ﷺ is well known by is the name Muhammad, but he also has other names. Then the Shaykh, he says, وَالتَعَرَّفْ عَلَى الرَّسُولِ مِنْ وَاجِبَاتِ الدِّينِ وَمِنْ أُصُولِ الْإِسْلَامِ. And this, I want to focus on this statement here, التَعَرَّفْ. Yani knowing, becoming acquainted with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, us knowing about him, reading about him, studying his life. This is from the obligatory duties of this deen. Yani, it's sinful if a person didn't read about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You didn't read his life story. You didn't read his biography. This is from the wajibat of this deen that every Muslim has to know about our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمِنْ أُصُولِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Not only is it from the obligatory duties in this deen, it's from the fundamentals, the foundations of Islam. And if a person loses the foundations, خلاص, they have nothing. And this is from the foundations of Islam. He says, Al-Imam Muhammad, he says, Al-Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, in his book, ثلاثة الأصول, يعني the three fundamentals, he says, he's quoting, Al-Asl al-Awwal, the first foundation, the first fundamental of Islam is Ma'rifatullah, knowing Allah. Wathani, and the second one is Ma'rifatu Nabiyihi, knowing his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the third one is Ma'rifatu Deen al-Islam bil-Adilla. And the third foundation of the three fundamentals of Islam is knowing the Deen of Islam with its evidences, with the proofs and evidences. So he said, just as it is obligatory upon you to know Allah, ma'rifatullah, كذلك, in the same way it is obligatory upon you to know his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to know the deen of Islam with its evidences. These are three fundamentals. وَهِيَ الَّتِي يُسْأَلُ عَنْهَا الْمَيِّتِ إِذَا وُضِيَ فِي قَبْرِهِ. And these three fundamentals is what a dead person will be questioned about when he's placed in his grave. What will be the questions? Man Rabbuk? Who is your Rabb? Wa ma dinuk? And what is your deen? Wa man Nabiyuk? Or in some of the narrations say, who is the one who came? Now, the point is there that a person, when they die, will be questioned. And you will not be able to answer these questions unless you knew them and you lived by them. And it's not like you study for the exam and you just learn the answers and you say, if you say the right answers, you pass. No. You have to actually believe in this and living upon it in order to be able to answer these questions in the grave. And if you don't answer them, what will happen? Punish. With a big, big metal hammer that was... Any? No. May Allah save us from that. Allahumma musta'an. Then he says, وَقَوْلُهُ عَبْدُهُ. So he said he is, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is abduhu al-Mustafa. He is his worshipper who he has chosen. فَهُوَ therefore he is Abdullah. Yani Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Abdullah azza wa jalla. وَلَيْسَ لَهُ مِنَ الْأُولُوهِيَ شَيْئًا. And he doesn't have any part of divinity. He is the worshipper of Allah, the abd of Allah. He doesn't have any part of divinity. وَلَا مِنَ الْرُبُوبِيَّ شَيْءٍ. Nor does he have any part, not even a little bit, of rububiyyah, of Allah's lordship. And he doesn't share with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anything of uluhiyah or rububiyyah. وَإِنَّمَا هُوَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. Rather, he is only Allah's abd, his worshipper. And he is his rasul. مُؤْتَمِرٌ بِأَوَامِرِهِ وَمُنْتَهِنْ عَنْ نَوَاهِيهِ مُبَلِّغٌ عَنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So he is the one who follows Allah's commands. He follows the commands of Allah. And he refrains from his prohibitions, what Allah has prohibited. And he delivers or conveys from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, meaning, what does he convey? The message of Allah, al-Islam, the Qur'an, and the Sunnah. وَهَذَا فِيهِ رَدٌ عَلَى الْغُلُوفِ. And this is a refutation against exaggeration. Al-ghulu fi, exaggeration in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What kind of exaggeration? The people that he say he's more than a human being, that he's more than a prophet and a messenger, that he's actually divine in some kind of way. He has some rights of divinity. And so they go to his grave and they pray to him instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, this is a refutation. How is it a refutation? Because he's a abd. He's a worshipper of Allah. He said, this is a refutation against exaggeration in the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام لأن هناك من يغلون في الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام ويجعلون له شيئا من الربوبية أو الألوهية. He said, that is because there are some people who go to the extreme in the way they look at the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and they give him, they make it as though he has some part of the divinity or some part of the lordship. Yani the lordship means what? That Allah alone is the creator. And He alone is the one who owns everything and controls everything and provides and gives life and death. They're saying that the Prophet has some share in this. وَهَذَا غُلُوٌ وَلَيْعَاذُ بِاللَّهِ كَمَا غَلَّتْ النَّصَارَ فِي الْمَسِيحِ عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمْ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. So he said, this is exaggeration. This is extremism. And we seek refuge in Allah from such. It's just like the Christians. They exaggerated concerning the Messiah, Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salam. وَقَالُوا إِنَّهُ إِبْنُ اللَّهِ أَوْ اللَّهِ أَوْ ثَالِثْ ثَلَاثَ. They said about Isa alayhi salam that he is Allah. They said that he is the son of Allah. Or they said that he is Allah himself. Or they said he is one of the three, yani the Trinity. One of the three gods in one. فَفِي قَوْلِهِ عَبْدُهُ الْمُصْطَفَى. So in this statement of Imam al-Tahawi that he is his chosen worshipper, in it is a rudd, a refutation against the ghulu, the exaggeration of the people of deviation who identify with Islam and they go to the extreme in their raising the station of the Prophet ﷺ more than the highest station of a human being, which is a worshipper. That's the highest station of a human being. The ubudiyya, that they are a worshipper of Allah, but they want to go to the extreme. Now he's more than that. He's actually a god. Like the Christians said, Jesus was a god. So he is the abd, the worshipper, the slave, the servant of Allah, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever is in the earth and in the heavens, they are all, everyone, everything in the heavens and earth is a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and then the Shaykh mentions a number of ayat. Naam. So first he mentioned from Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 93rd ayat. Yani this is concerning what? That everyone in the heavens and the earth is yani a worshipper, abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In kullu man fis samawati wal ard illa آتي الرحمن عبدا. يعني that every in كل من في السماوات, يعني everything or everyone that's in the heavens and the earth, يعني there's no one in the heavens and earth except that they will come to Ar-Rahman, to Allah as a abd. Except that they will come to Allah as an abd.
I think the mic is cutting off.
It's cutting off?
Just have to check if it's plugged in.
I don't know if somebody wants to look at this. I don't know like how to tell anything. It looks like it's fine to me. What do you think?
Yeah, it looks
like it. I'm not the technical man, so I don't know. But it looks like it's on. So then he says, also, even the angels are abid. They are worshippers, slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bal ibadun mukramun. Yani that the angels, they are worshippers, honored worshippers of Allah. لا يسبقونه بالقول وهم بأمره يعملون. Yani that they don't say anything. They don't go in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say anything before Allah. Yani gives them permission to speak and tells them what to speak. And they are those who act upon what He has commanded. This is in Surah Al-Anbiya, 21st Surah, 26th and 27th ayah. Meaning the angels are also worshippers of Allah. وَالْأَنْبِيَا وَالْرُسُولُ عَبِيدٌ. Yani the prophets and the messengers are all worshippers of Allah. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning Nuh alayhi salam. The prophet Noah alayhi salam, كان عبدًا شكورًا. That he was a abd, a thankful, appreciative, yani worshipper of Allah. Surah Al-Isra, 17th surah? 17, ayah 3. And Allah also said concerning him, فَكَذَّبُوا عَبْدَنَا. Yani that the disbelievers denied the truthfulness of our worshipper, meaning Nuh alayhi salam. And he called him a abd. And this is Surah Al-Qamar, 54th Surah, 9th Ayat, وَقَالَ فِي دَاوُدِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning the Prophet, Dawood alayhi salam, وَذْكُرْ عَبْدَنَا دَاوُدِ ذَا الْأَيْدِ إِنَّهُ أَوَّابِ. Yani, and mention our abd, our worshipper. Yani, he's a slave, Dawood. And he is the one who possessed yani, power. And perhaps, yani, I didn't really have a chance to look at the tafsir, but perhaps the meaning here is, yani, ذَا الْأَيْدِ. I think, and Allah knows best, it means yani power, yani in terms of worship, yani that he's a strong worshipper of Allah. Innahu, because that's how it came in another ayat, different ayat, but the same word is used, meaning power and worship. Innahu awwab, he was one who turned back to Allah, turned to Allah. And this is Surah Al-Sa'd, 30th Surah, 17th ayat. وَقَالَ فِي Sulaiman, and he also said concerning the Prophet Sulaiman, نِعْمَ الْعَبْدُ إِنَّهُ awwab, that blessed is he as a abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, he is of those who turn to Allah. This is also in Surah Al-Sa'd, 38th Surah, 30th ayah. وَقَالَ فِي Ayyub, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said about the Prophet Ayyub, وَذْكُرْ عَبْدَنَا Ayyub. He called him an abd, yani Ayyub, yani Job, alayhi salam. Surah Al-Sa'd, 38th Surah, 41st ayah. وَقَالَ فِي عِيسَى alayhi salam, and he also said concerning Jesus, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا عَبْدٌ أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَيْهِ وَجَعَلْنَاهُ مَثَلًا لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. And indeed, he is no more than an abd who we have, yani blessed, given ni'mah upon him, and we made him an example or model for the Bani Israel. This is Surah Zukhruf, I don't know, Surah 46 or 7? 43? Yeah. 43, verse 59. فَإِذَا كَانَ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ وَالرُّسُولُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ عَبِيدٌ لِلَّهِ وَهُمْ أَشْرَفَ الْخَلْقِ فَغَيْرُهُمْ مِنَ الْأَوْلِيَاءُ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ بَابِ أَوْلَى. And so, all of these ayats are mentioned to say what? That if the prophets and the messengers and the angels are all worshippers, slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are the most honorable of all the creation, then anyone besides them from the awliya and the salihin, and whoever thinks that somebody is righteous and he's from the awliya of Allah, then yani it is more obligatory, yani more so the case that they are going to be worshippers. If who is greater than them, the angels and the prophets and the messengers, are worshippers of Allah, then all the more so they must also be worshippers. And the best of them all is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is the last of the prophets. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him an abd in his saying, wa in kuntum fi raybin mimma nazzalna ala abadina. And if you are in doubt about what we have sent down upon our abd, meaning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even Allah referred to him as abd in this most honorable position, yani of mentioning the revelation coming down upon him. Yani the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's the one who they were in doubt about the revelation that was revealed to him. And he also said concerning the Prophet Muhammad, that's in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 23rd ayah. And he also said in Surah Al-Furqan, 25th surah, I think first, 25th surah, first ayah, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْفُرْقَانَ عَلَى عَبْدِهِ. Yani blessed is Allah, the one who has sent down the criterion, yani the Qur'an, upon his worshipper. Surah Al-Furqan, first ayah. And then he says also Surah Al-Isra, last ayah that he mentions concerning this, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ. Surah Al-Isra, we said 17th surah, first ayah, yani سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ. Yani سُبْحَانَ, yani Allah, yani it's the declaration that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect, that He's free from imperfection. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي, free from imperfection, is the one who has taken his abd on the yani asra bi abdihi, yani the night journey. He took him from the night journey from where to where? The night journey from Mecca to Jerusalem. That's the Isra. As far as the, I mean, that's the yani Isra, and then after that is the Mi'raj, yani to the heavens. So in any case, maqam al-ubudiyya huwa a'la al-maqamat. Yani this station of being a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being in a state of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the highest station that any human being can achieve. And there's nothing more honorable than the station of being in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith as reported by Al-Bukhari, لَا تُطْرُونِي كَمَا أَطْرَتْ النَّصَارَ عِيسَى ابْنِ مَرْيَمْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا عَبْدٌ. فَقُولُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. He said, don't exaggerate concerning me like the Christians exaggerated concerning Jesus, the son of Mary, alayhi salam. Indeed, I am no more than an abd. I am just an abd, a worshipper. So say about me, عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. Yani that he is the worshipper of Allah and his messenger. Then the Shaykh closes by mentioning these expressions that were used by Imam al-Tahawi, yani that he is the abd of Allah, yani abduhu al-Mustafa, and he is the yani nabi, nabiyuhu al-Mujtaba, and he is the rasul, rasuluhu al-Mustafa. He explains yani these terms. He says, and he shows that their meanings are pretty much the same. He said, mana al-Mustafa al-Mukhtar min al-Istifa wa huwa al-Ikhtiyar. Yani he said the meaning of Mustafa in this expression, description of the Prophet, he is the chosen abd of Allah. It means al-mukhtar, the one who is chosen, yani who has been selected. Yani from everyone, he selected him from the whole of humanity. Yani it's from the master that means yani chosen, to choose. Who al-ikhtiyar. Istifa means al-ikhtiyar. Qala ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says with this meaning from Surah As-Saad, 38th Surah, 45th, 6th and 7th ayat. He said, وَذْكُرْ إِبَادَنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ أُولِ الْأَيْدِي. That's the ayat I was thinking of. وَالْأَبْصَارِ إِنَّا أَخْلَصْنَاهُمْ بِخَالِصَةٍ ذِكْرَ الدَّارِ وَإِنَّهُمْ عِنْدَنَا لَمِنَ الْمُصْطَفَيْنِ الْأَخْيَارِ. Any meaning of this is a little bit difficult, but in any case, as best I can understand it, he said, and mention, remember our ibadana, our worshippers, Ibrahim and Ishaq and Ya'qub. Yani Ibrahim and his son Ishaq and his grandson Ya'qub, they are uli al-aidi wal-absar. Yani ulu means yani sahib, yani ashab al-quwa fil-ibadah. Yani they are the ones who possess strength in worship. That's how most of the tafsirs explained it. Ulul Aidi, those who were strong in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and plentiful in the worship of Allah. وَالْأَبْصَارِ meaning basair, يعني that they had insight in the deen. They had fiqh and understanding of the deen. يعني these two descriptions, some of the scholars said, Allah has described them with these two descriptions, meaning الْعِلْمَ النَّافِيَ وَالْعَمَلَ الصَّالِحِ. And this is a sirat al-mustaqim, that they had beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected them for this special yani description, dhikr al-dar, yani that they were engaged in the remembrance of the dar al-akhirah, constantly engaged, calling to and acting upon, yani doing the deeds that indicate a person seeking the life in the hereafter. وَإِنَّهُمْ يَعْنِي عِنْدَنَا لَمِنَ الْمُصْطَفَيْنَ الْأَخْيَارِ. And with us, yani with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that they are those who are al-mustafain. Al-mustafain, the Shaykh says, is the gem of Mustafa, yani chosen. They are the ones who are chosen, and they are the best of the people. This is from Surah Al-Sa'd 38, 45, and 47. Al-mustafain, gem al-mustafa, wa huwa al-mukhtar. Yani the meaning of Mustafa, or mustafain here is the plural, means chosen. And then he says, yani the Arabic origin of it, aslahu, yani musta. Yani ta, he said, yani the original word has ta, that's the extra letter that's added in this verb form. He said, thumma ubdilat ta fa. So the ta has changed for ta, and that's how we got, instead of mustafa, mustafa. Fasarat mustafa li yusahil al nutq biha, to make it easy to pronounce. Yani because yani the sa'd and the ta'd, ta, the sa'd and ta'd from the same makhraj, so it's easy for to pronounce, as opposed to sa'd and ta, huh? Mustafa. And then he said, this time. Okay, we are out of time right now. Let's see, we still have a little bit. I'll try to finish quickly. Please pardon me for the time. So we're going to read quickly here. Al-Mustafa, he said, it is al-mukhtar, the one who is chosen. And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the message, the risala, from amongst all of the people. And Allah is the one who knows best where to place this message, yani who to deliver it and to convey it. So He doesn't choose, Allah doesn't choose, except the one that Allah knows. أَنَّهُ يَسْتَحِقْ الْإِخْتِيَارِ. He knows that this one deserves to be chosen, because he will fulfill this important task, because it is a difficult and magnificent task. So Allah doesn't choose for it except one he knows that is fit, is أَحْلًا, yani fit for this task. And Allah says in the Quran, Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 124th Ayat, اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ حَيْثُ يَجْعَلُ رِسَالَتَهُ. And Allah is the one who knows best where to place His message. Then the Shaykh says, Al-Mujtaba, yani نَبِيُّهُ الْمُجْتَمَى. This Mujtaba, this is the second description that Imam al-Tahawi mentioned for the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, that he is نَبِيُّهُ الْمُجْتَبَى بِمَعْنَى الْمُصْطَفَى. Yani the meaning of Mujtaba, he said, has the same meaning as Al-Mustafa. وَالنَّبِي. And then he has a little bit of kalam concerning the Prophet. He says, and just try to go back and read your notes, please. He says, النبي من أوها إليه الله بشرع لم يعمر بتبليغه. The Prophet is the one who revelation was, who was, it was revealed to him, yani a law, sharia. أوها من أوها إليه الله بشرع. Allah has revealed to him a law, a set of laws. وَلَمْ يُؤْمَرْ بِتَبْلِيغِهِ. And he hasn't been commanded to deliver it. But the Shaykh explains what he means by that, and I want to stop right here and explain it, because he says that the meaning, مَانَ أُمِرَ بِتَبْلِيغِهِ أي أُمِرَ بِإِلْزَامِ النَّاسِ وَأَنْ يُقَاتِلَهُمْ عَلَى مَجَابِهِ. Yani what he says, they were not, yani commanded, بِتَبْلِيغِهِ, the meaning of تَبْلِيغِهِ here is, he was not commanded to force the people. And he was not commanded to fight the people to comply with what he was sent with. So that's different than a person might understand, he wasn't commanded to deliver it. Shaykh explains here. What he means by he's not commanded to deliver it, the Prophet, meaning he wasn't commanded to force the people, even at the point of fighting them, to make them comply with what he came with. Okay, so that's what he means by he was not commanded to deliver it. Not that he wasn't commanded to tell the people what was revealed to him. No, obviously he has to tell the people what was revealed to him. He said, that's the prophet. As far as the messenger, Rasul, من أولها إليه شرع وأمر بتبليغه. So what's the difference? The messenger is one who a law was revealed to him and he was commanded to deliver it. Meaning he was commanded to force the people to comply with it. Even if he has to fight them, to make them comply with it. Do we understand what's the difference between what the Shaykh is saying, Nabi and Rasul? He's saying both of them, yani revelation, the shar was revealed to them, but the messenger is commanded to force the people to comply, even if he has to fight them. And the Prophet not commanded to force the people, even if he has to fight. Not commanded to do. That's how he said. He said, this is كذلك النبي. Oh, and then he mentions, he said, وَهَذَا أَشْهُرْ مَا قِيلَ فِي الْفَرْقِ بَيْنَ النَّبِيِّ وَرَسُولِ. This is what is most well known concerning the difference between the Prophet and the Messenger. So there are lots of sayings concerning the difference between the Prophet and the Messenger. He said, Shaykh Salih Fawzan said, this is what is well known concerning the difference between them. And then he gives another difference. He says, وَكَذَلِكَ النَّبِيُّ يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ وَيَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَلَكِنْ يَتَّبِعُوا مَنْ قَبْلَهُ مِنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَيَمْشِي عَلَى الطَّرِيقِ مَنْ قَبْلَهُ وَلَا يَنْفَرِدْ بِشَرِيَّةٍ خَاصَةٍ مِثْلَ أَنْبِيَاءِ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ جَاءُوا بِالتَّوْرَةِ وَدَعَوْا إِلَى التَّوْرَةِ الَّتِي أَنْزَلَهَا اللَّهُ عَلَى مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. So he said, and another distinction he said is that the Prophet, who's not commanded to force the people to follow that which was given to him, he said the Prophet, he has revelation revealed to him, yuha ilayhi, and he calls the people to it. Okay, not that he's not required to deliver it, naam. He calls the people to it. However, he follows the one who was before him, from the prophets before him. That he travels on the path of the prophet who came before him. And he's not, yani, given a specific, particular sharia that's particular to him. But rather, he said, it's like the prophets of Bani Israel, they came with the Torah. And they called to the Torah that was revealed to Musa. It wasn't revealed to them, but it was revealed to Musa, and they came with it, and they called to it. And finally, we close with this. He said, Al-Murtada, yani Rasuluhu al-Murtada, yani his messenger who he is pleased with. He said, the meaning of it is Al-Mujtaba wal-Mustafa. And the meaning of Murtada, he says the same as Mujtaba and Mustafa, chosen, even though Al-Murtada bimana anna Allah irtadahu, means that Allah is pleased with him. Yani Allah is pleased to choose him as his messenger. This is what we're going to stop with. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Next week, inshallah, I'll read just a brief commentary from Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani. He has a brief commentary concerning this. I'll read this with the questions for next week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And next week is going to be our last class with this book until after Ramadan. During Ramadan, inshallah, we're going to have some classes related to Ramadan. So next week will be our last class from this book. And we'll finish the prophethood of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam next week's session. And then after Ramadan, we'll resume with the Qur'an is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Naam?
If next week, Saturday is Ramadan, Taraweeh will be Friday night.
If next week, Saturday, is the first day of Ramadan, then Taraweeh will be Friday night. So we'll pray Friday night. Naam. If the moon is sighted, we're going to pray that night. We're not going to wait till we fast. We're going to pray the night before. Oh. If next week Saturday is Ramadan, Friday, we already finished Friday. What you mean as far as the prayer?
As far as, are we going to do the class on the Friday that
instead of
week after?
I'll have to ask the imam how he wants to do that. No, I got it now. Mashallah. I don't know. I have to talk to the imam and ask him how they want to do it. I'm not really sure. But I'll try to find out tonight, and then I'll send out notice to the class. Also, brothers, just as a quick notice, for masjids and Islamic centers and Islamic schools, every year we usually produce a book of supplications for Ramadan. It's not for sale. It's not for sale. And it's not for individuals to distribute. But the masjid or Islamic center or Islamic school can distribute it to their people. And all we're asking them is to help us with the cost of the printing, which is a very minimal amount that we're asking, very, very small amount, just to help with the cost of printing. But on the condition that they have to give the books out free. No sale. Has to be given the books out free. So if you know any imam or people in charge of a masjid or Islamic center or school that would like to distribute the book that we're going to publish, that's going to be printed, inshallah, we should have some copies next Friday, then please have the imam to contact us, or you can be the go-between or whatever, but it's for the masjids and Islamic centers, and it's not for sale, so we can't give it to individual people. Okay, because it's not going to be for sale. Of course, if we know, like some brothers, mashallah, they take the responsibility to sponsor the books for their masjid or their center or whoever, we don't have a problem with that. But I'm just saying, for the general public, we're not going to give this book to a person who came and said, I'm going to distribute the book in my masjid, and we don't know who you are. Because otherwise, somebody will be going to a store and buying a book for $10, even though it costs $1 to print. SubhanAllah, Alhamdulillah, Shukran, La ilaha illa anta, Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.